When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Is up, Wizards fans. I could not stay away. I said on the last podcast it might be a while before I'm back, but honestly, they're just so shitty. I had to come back just to talk about it. Troy Halliburton is going to join me here in a minute. We're going to get into the Lakers game, the abomination that it was, and we're going to talk about the Bradley Beal comments, the abomination that they were. And yeah, we'll see where they go. We'll try not to get canceled. Again, this is probably going to be one of those podcasts where if you listen to it on speaker with your kids in the car, don't do that. I'll put the E for explicit rating on there if that's the case, but seems like a safe bet. We'll see when we get into it. Before we get started, basketball is back and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite teams, sports, and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Make sure to use our promo code BELIEF, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. Before we get to our conversation with Troy, I just want to say thanks a lot to everybody who emailed me directly or sent me a DM or sent a nice post about the GoGo game cancellation. Apparently, I sounded pretty bummed in that episode. It's because I was. That one definitely felt like a little bit of a low blow for a team I invest a lot of time into. And for people interested in it, it felt like a low blow to them, too, that they were willing to come out to a minor league basketball game and then not even be able to come for the discount price that they were originally given. So it is what it is. If you are that bothered by what happened, I would say tag the GoGo on Twitter, send them an email, send them a message, something like that, and let them know that, one, you were going to buy a ticket, and that when they plan things like this in the future, no one is going to buy tickets to a G League game 4 months in advance, because that's just not realistic, unless you're them, you think that's realistic, okay, sure. And that, you know, if you feel like your interest in the GoGo has grown because of this show, throw us out there too. Apparently, that's not a valuable piece of this to them, that we've made people more aware of their product. So they're trying to protect the brand that they've built. I guess us promoting said brand, not all that meaningful to them at the end of the day. So again, yeah, if you feel so inclined to do that, that's how I would suggest voicing your frustration if that seems to be the case. I'm about to voice my frustration with the Wizards. I assume Troy is going to do the same thing. So let's just go ahead and get right to that convo. Okay, pleased to bring in for the second time in a week, Troy Halliburton. Troy, thanks for coming back.
Hey, not a problem, man. Thanks for having me on. I feel like We got to give the people what they want, and they want good Wizards conversations and good Wizards content. So we're just going to keep doing that.
Hell yeah. We had talked about doing this one in the arena. I screwed up here and did not bring a mic. So people are getting the slightly less raw, unedited version or unfiltered version of this. We've had a little bit of time to digest what we saw. This is immediately after the Los Angeles Lakers game, and I'm not calling it a Wizards game. I'm calling it a Lakers game because it was basically a Lakers home game. They won 130 to 119. I don't think that score is reflective of the actual game that we saw because it felt like it was never in doubt. Troy, I like to pride myself on being a reasonable interviewer and a professional when it comes to asking questions. So this is the best one I have for you. What the fuck did we just watch?
Well, we watched, as you said, we watched a Lakers game in what apparently was Crypto Arena East, aka Capital One Arena. Yeah. It was filled with lots of Lakers fans, and they were letting their fandom be known from the beginning tip until the buzzer sounded. And I think, I mean, as far as in-game experiences, I'd have to say that it was probably the best in-game Wizards experience of this short season so far. I mean, if you paid a ticket to go to that game, you certainly got your money's worth. I mean, that was one exciting basketball game.
I mean, when G-Wiz jumped off a ladder onto a mat, an inflatable mat, I mean, that was high-quality content right there. I don't know how they come up with such entertaining halftime activities as the fake wrestling demonstration performed by the mascot. I mean, wow, what promotional geniuses the Wizards are.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and then like, I mean, we've already been in 2 minutes into this podcast and we have yet to mention the fact that Anthony Davis looked like Elgin Baylor reincarnated out there on the court.
Wilt Chamberlain and Elgin Baylor combined.
Like, yeah, like it was absolutely amazing. I mean, he had a career high 55 points and he only made 2 3-pointers. Like, all of his damage and work came inside the paint. And, you know, as much as, you know, I've been a big fan of what Kristaps Porzingis has done and brought to the Wizards this season, I mean, I think the marked difference in talent, the talent discrepancy was on full display tonight. And, you know, Porzingis might be an all-star this year. Anthony Davis is an all NBA player, and
he's a Hall of Famer.
I mean, he's a future Hall of Famer, yeah. And he showed that tonight. I mean, I mean, besides the bubble, I don't think I've ever seen him look as good as a basketball player before.
The Wizards are known to do that for people, reinflate their value or stock or whatever it is. This was a bad night for the Anthony Davis is washed crowd. Again, 55 points, 17 rebounds, just looked impressive. I'll be honest, Troy, I had no idea it was that many as the game was going on. I will fully admit I'm not super well prepared to even talk about this game because I was kind of only half paying attention because this one felt over from like the beginning. I was dicking around on my phone for a lot of the time and tweeting stuff out from like my own account, the Bolts Forever account, like just anything other than like watching them get worked. Because I don't know, did you feel like they were ever going to make a real run of this game at any point?
There was a point when Kyle Kuzma started heating up in the fourth quarter. I think it was around the 5-minute mark.
He got it to 9, I think.
Yeah, I think he got it to about 9, and then we came down and they had an open Monty Morris 3 that could have cut it to 6.
Right.
The Lakers, you know, they have been playing better as of late, but I mean, them blowing this game was not like outside of the realm of possibilities. So, yeah, but like you said, though, for the majority of the game, as soon as it started, you know, the Lakers kind of jumped out on the Wizards, and it pretty much seemed one-sided for the majority of the contest. Right. And just like you, you know, I spent a lot of time walking around the arena, you know, just kind of twiddling my thumbs, talking to different people, having lots of conversations that did not detail, you know, Wizards basketball. But I think that there was a legitimate shot for them to get back in the game and have a chance to win towards the end.
See, I'm with you on the legit shot to get back in the game. I'm not with you on the legit shot to win because I feel like it would have just been like the Hornets game all over again where they would have gotten close just to not win it. But
yeah, well, man, we're going to talk about that because that was a legitimate shot to win. And there's only one culprit as to why they did not win. So,
it's clearly Anthony Gill's fault. Is that what you're about to say?
Hey, clearly, Charlotte native. Like, how dare he not show up and show out and going home?
So let's transition to that just for a minute. So for anyone who didn't see the game, they sucked, but they got back into it. which is a Wizards thing to do. And then Beal took the laces of his jersey, unlaced his drawstring, pulled his shorts down, and took a shit on the middle of the court with about, I don't know, 30 seconds left. The final three possessions were basically just Beal being bad, or like somebody that looked like they were point shaving.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say point shaving. I think that this is just, I mean,
how the fuck you dribble off your foot, Troy? Like, how does that keep happening?
it happens to Beal. Like, it's a part of his game plan. Like, it's a part of, you know, his DNA as a basketball player. And so, we're talking about that Charlotte Hornets game. But, you know, first of all, we have to look at the Hornets and the lineup that they fielded coming into that. And I tweeted something out in the first quarter of the game. This is one of those games where Bradley Beal has to go out and earn his $250 million contract.
Yeah.
Like, the team pays you $250 million to go specifically to go out and win those type of basketball games where you are head and shoulders, clearly the best basketball player on the court. You have to, there's no matter what you have to do, no matter what you have to do to get it done, you have to walk out of that game with a victory.
Put the team and on the Charlotte back Hornets,
they tried to put the win on a silver platter for the Wizards as best they could. And Bradley Beal could not seize the opportunity. And honestly, like I left that game Friday night probably more disappointed in Beal and the Wizards' future perspectives than I have been in a long time. And it's been some low moments. But I mean, if you can't beat that Charlotte Hornets team, what are we doing here? Like, Beal had his possessions in the fourth quarter. He had a missed free throw, turnover, mm-hmm. and a open missed bunny shot from the elbow that he should have hit. And the Wizards
That's all they do.
Don't foul in time enough to even potentially get another shot, and they just walk out of the arena with a big fat loss. Yeah. And it all falls on the shoulders of Bradley Beal. And I think that, you know, it's very frustrating for Wizards fans to be able to get behind a team when the star player just doesn't show that he cares about winning enough. Like, it's just frustrating.
Well, he said some other endearing things that we're going to talk about here in a minute to really win us back over. But you said it perfectly. Like, what you just said is exactly how I felt. I did not watch that game in real time because I was like, fuck this team. I'm never going to watch them again, because I was like butthurt about my own stuff with the go-go game and everything. And I since have caved in the last 36 hours and watched the fourth quarter of that game only, because I just couldn't stomach watching the entire thing. And just, if I'm Beal, I go right now, I call American Express up, I cancel my Black Card or whichever one I was using to pay for my training sessions with Drew Hanlon, because all the dribbling around cones to pull 15-foot elbow jumpers have not been paying off. Like, whatever he spends all summer working on, he's not getting a return on investment, because he just literally screws that play up every time.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I'm not even going to sit here and blame Drew Hanlon. I understand that you're joking here. Like, the only person here to blame is Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
And I think that,
Can we blame Wes a little bit though, Troy? Like, why can't we do anything other than Beal ISO? Like, why is that still the thing at this point when he's never shown that that's a productive play?
Because that's what they pay him to do. And you know, I think that he has let it be known that, you know, that he said in another podcast with our dear friend Gilbert Arenas, that, you know, he said, he didn't say he has control, said he has a say
right
in this franchise. And so he meant, but he meant control though. He meant control.
What he said first is what he meant.
He's got control. So that's why they run plays for Beal, because this is his team. He has control and he has the say. So, and he wants to be the hero, but he doesn't know how to be the hero. So this is, I mean, we're all just stuck in this like never ending circle of mediocrity, because we're held hostage by Bradley Beal.
Yeah, I agree. And it's, I always say it starts at the top. Like, it, I blame Ted for all of this, and by de facto, I blame Tommy for all of this. But I'm at the like middle finger to Brad Beal phase of my Wizards fandom. I didn't think I'd get to this. Like, my week as a Wizards fan started with them basically saying, hey, we know you've done our job trying to promote our bullshit minor league product for us, but that's not good enough. So fuck off. Then a loss to the Hornets, which is despicable that they couldn't close out with their $250 million man. And then they made me angry that I left my house tonight to watch them get punked by the Lakers in a game. I think everybody would have expected them to just show up and lose. LeBron was banged up. He almost, you know, didn't play by all accounts. And he probably wouldn't, like, even if he'd played, it probably wouldn't have mattered. And that's just, that's like how I'm feeling about this team over the last like 72 hours. Like, they just, how many times can you kick me in the nuts as a fan?
No, it would have mattered. LeBron made a difference tonight. I think he had 29 points.
He did, but we would have found a way to fuck it up anyway. It doesn't matter who sits.
He controlled the game. Like, I hear you. I hear you. I think that, you know, and then I guess we have to talk about the fact that, you know, Brad left the game with a hamstring injury. And so he only played a couple of minutes tonight.
3 minutes, I think.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think that his status for the rest of this week is pretty much in question. And we're already down Rui Hachimura. And so, you know, DeLon Wright, like I told you last week, he doesn't look like he's close to returning. And so, you know, we're really trying to, you know, piecemeal together some backcourt minutes. And Will Barton, you know, they say that he's, you know, shooting up every game, but I haven't seen him.
Some Devon Dotson minutes, maybe.
At this point, you know, we're gonna have to, you know, start thinking of alternative methods to start manufacturing points out of the backcourt, because, you know, the stuff that they're doing right now is simply just not working. And on one positive note, though, I will say that I did thoroughly enjoy the Daniel Gafford, Kristaps Porzingis duo, those minutes again. Yeah. So they had a good showing in Charlotte, and they were really partly the main reason for the team being able to get back into that game. And, you know, despite Anthony Davis, you know, like murdering them in the paint tonight, I thought that that lineup, not only did it give them their best chance of winning, but I think that having Gafford play next to Porzingis really kind of opens him up a little bit in a way that I don't think everybody's really been disappointed with his play over the last couple of weeks. And we've seen his minutes and role decrease to a level that, you know, is concerning for Wizards fans. But I think that they might have found something here with this lineup of playing him next to Porzingis. And I'd like to, you know, I'm curious enough to see if they're going to keep this going and what they can unlock with that duo.
I think a really dynamic guard could probably pick that apart, but you obviously didn't have to worry about that, you know, a ton with the last two teams they played, just based on the personnel available. Like, but the Gafford minutes were good tonight. I think there was a lot of like flexing while they were down 17 and he got a wide open dunk, but overall I liked the energy that he brought, and I think they needed that. But I think the reason that works is Gafford's probably best when he has some space to operate. And when you have Kuzma out there kind of as the de facto point guard, that slots like Rui or Denny or Will Barton or one of these other guys being like sort of the off ball spacers. And that hasn't really been particularly effective. Whereas like people have to respect Porzingis if he's, you know, stretched the floor out in the corner. Like, so it gives Gafford kind of that space. So I'm with you. I think I would keep trying it and seeing if it's something that they can really kind of go back to the well on.
Yeah. And the spacing aspect of that is very interesting. And I actually stayed around and got a chance to do the post game stuff. And I talked to Kyle Kuzma and I got a chance to ask him about what he likes about that duo, you know, because, you know, that pretty much affects him too, because it downsizes him to have to play on the wing a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And he said something very interesting that he said that, that he thinks that Gafford has to think less when he's on the floor with Porzingis. And so what that tells me is that maybe some of the defensive responsibilities that he has while he's on the floor as the main center, and it goes back to the conversation that we had last week about, you know, him being a superior NBA athlete, but the reason why he's struggling right now is because he's not seeing and processing the game quick enough. Hmm. And so if anything that can put him in a position where he can process things quicker and he can react quicker, I think that that is definitely beneficial for him as a basketball player. And, you know, like I said, with the Wizards, with their lack of depth right now, as far as like the guard position and wing depth, like, I think that it'll be good to, you know, have, Porzingis and Gafford playing together. Maybe you could even do it where you have Gafford and Gibson playing together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then you have Kuzma playing a lot more small four, and maybe he can handle the ball a little bit more. And maybe that just puts everybody in a more comfortable position for them to for them to play a little bit better.
I'm willing to see them try anything at this point.
They got to try anything, because, you know, I think what have they lost 6 of their last 7 games now? Winning 5 of 6 at home, you know, I think that, you know, when you really look at the Wizards right now and how they're playing, you know, this season is slowly but surely slipping away from them. And if they don't get it together soon, like they could be putting themselves in a hole that will be really hard for them to dig themselves out of, in terms of simply making the playoffs, which is clearly their goal.
So you mentioned the 5 of 6 stretch that they won. And for most of those games, at least 4 of them, Bradley Beal sat out. And you mentioned that they've lost 6 of the last 7, and Bradley Beal played in the majority of all of those games. I mean, if they go on a win, like a win streak here with Beal out again for the next couple games, potentially, I mean, he could come back, you know, by middle of the week, who knows, we'll see, but it's going to get really dark on Wizards Twitter, I think, if there's like this stretch of like 4 wins without Beal or something again, because it's, he's not particularly beloved by the fan base at the moment. And if there's another data point that they're better without him, shit's going to get weird.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Yeah, I mean, I think shit's already getting weird.
Sure.
But the thing is, I think that, Bill has enough apologists on Twitter where, you know, they're going to find any excuse to make for him as to why it's not his fault. It's everybody else's fault that they're not winning games, you know. But I think that, you know, Brad has to, he's got to do some soul searching, and he's got to look within inside himself and decide, you know, at what point is he going to decide to be a winner. Yeah. You know, I think that, you know, he's come out and he said, you know, I think in that podcast with Gilbert Arenas, he said the quiet part aloud, you know, about him not having a lot of options this summer.
I've got the quote here real quick. So on the business side of it, there were no teams in the market, just free agency wise. I'm just being frank. There was nowhere else for me to go. Where I can win, after a pause, he had to throw in the where I can win, just so we were all clear on that. There were teams strategically that wasn't what I wanted. Realistically, I won't say my hand was forced, but this was the best option that was on the table. So to your point, it's basically, well, I didn't really have anywhere better to go at this point.
Yeah. I mean, he's saying the quiet part aloud. Like, I wouldn't say my hand was forced. Like, yeah, but no, his hand was forced. Like, right. He had to come back to the Wizards. And that, and so, and when you listen to that, and you know, it like the logic and reasoning there is sound. But the logic and reasoning behind the Wizards giving him the super max contract and a no trade clause is inexcusable and it's inexplicable. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't make any sense to concede these things when you did not have to. Everybody in the world knew that they didn't have to. Right. Everybody in the world knew that he wanted to come back because he wanted to sign for that $250 million. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to give the man the money and make concessions on, you know, when you can trade him and what you can trade him for. Like, that doesn't make any sense at all. And I think it's just poor management. And it's really just it's a poor sign of the position that the Wizards are in and how desperate they are as a franchise just to be in the middle. Like, they're doing all of this. Like, they did all of this to pay a top 40 player, top five NBA player money. Like, it doesn't make any sense economically. And they didn't have to do it. And they did it anyway. And it's just as somebody who, you know, likes to evaluate these things with a, you know, I studied economics in school. So we always look at, like, you know, things from an opportunity cost.
Sure.
You know, what are you willing to get up to get something? And the Wizards have shown time and time again that they don't care. They'll give up whatever just to be in the middle. And it screams of desperation. And as a Wizards fan and as somebody who covers the team and everybody else who you know, is invested in Wizards basketball, like, the only word I could use is frustrating.
Honestly, the word I would use is insulting. I mean,
really, insult. Yeah, look, that's another word. There's plenty of synonyms that we can use surrounding those two words.
It's just one of those things where, like, anyone reasonable, I think, should have thought that was ridiculous to give him the concessions that they did. I personally think that they had to give him the supermax and keep him to then try to trade him and recoup some value later. But you totally squander the recouping of value part when you give him all those things and you now let him pick his destination, because now you've handcuffed yourself and he's going to say and dictate where he wants to go. And I wrote that, a scathing take of that, in July, and took a good amount of heat from the Beal apologists that, you know, the Beal's earned it and he deserves this and all this other stuff. But it's just as true now as it was then. They didn't have to do it. Like, Beal didn't have the leverage. He's admitting he didn't have the leverage, but they still operated as if they had the leverage, because everything they do, they act as if players are doing them a favor by re-signing here. And it's the same way when you're dating or doing whatever in life. When you look desperate, it's not appealing to other people. I think that's a large reason why they don't get free agents, is because they come off as just, like, cloying and clingy and desperate.
Yeah, no, that's the desperation reeks around here. And, you know, it's just not a good sign. But, you know, like, it is what it is. As I said on the last podcast, you know, the check is already cashed. So there's no point of crying and complaining over it. You know, I think that they just have to put themselves in a position right now where we have to start looking at what this team needs to do. If their goal is to make the playoffs, what does this team need to do to make the necessary changes in order to at least try to achieve that goal? Because what we're looking at right now, I don't think is going to get it done.
I don't know what they do. And I promise this isn't just like, oh, we're overreacting to the one loss we saw tonight. Like, there are seven games in a row.
Samples. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. No. There will be somebody that defends them no matter what. That's like, oh, you're just saying this because it's, you know, the wound is fresh from the Laker game. It's like, no, what we've seen for the last week and a half didn't work. And even those previous games, there's a reasonable enough data to support that was kind of fool's gold too, right? The defense is already tapered off. We played a lot of people with their best players out, and they still didn't win a lot of those games. So it's just, I don't know what they can do to tweak this roster enough to get them to that point. The schedule gets really tough. There's a lot of games on the road. And like you said, they could dig themselves such a hole. It's unrecoverable. The only way I see this happening is, like, on the back end, maybe some other teams have tanked or guys are hurt down the stretch. Like in that year with Westbrook, where they went on that huge run down, like, in the second half of the season, like, that's what this team's probably going to have to bank on, because I don't see like a ton of wins coming over the next 10, 15, 20 games, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that, we got to start shifting right now towards, you know, if you're Tommy Shepard, you got to start shifting your mindset towards the trade deadline. And, you know, December 15th is getting ready to come up, and that's like a big date for the NBA calendar, right, as far as the availability of players who just re-signed over the summer who would now become trade eligible. Mm-hmm. And so if you're Tommy Shepard, you have to start looking at this Wizards roster. You got to start doing, tallying up, you know, what the assets are and what you can, you know, send out and what you need. And I think that this team clearly needs a guard play. They clearly need a bigger, more dominant ball handler and creator that they can pair next to Bradley Beal, right, so they can take some that responsibility off of him, so that he doesn't have to dribble the ball off his foot in the clutch. Yeah. And then when you look at this team, like, the only asset that I see that they have, I think they have two decent assets. I think that Kyle Kuzma might be one of the hottest names at the NBA trade deadline. So, when you look at his skill set and his salary, you know, he only makes $13 million for this season. And, you know, this is a guy who's averaging 20 points a game, mm-hmm, and can clearly do a lot of things on the basketball court. There are a lot of contending teams, yep, who might be looking at the Wizards trying to poach away Kyle Kuzma. I think he has a lot of cachet, and will probably be, if the Wizards make him available, he might be one of the bigger names that is moved at this trade deadline. If the Wizards decide to move him, they could have it already set in their mind that they want to, you know, give him a contract extension. And then I'm looking at Corey Kispert is another guy who I think that teams would want. You know, Rui, I don't even know what to say about his ankle injury right now. And, you know, this is one of those things where every day that goes by, it seems to be getting worse and worse. Not the injury itself is getting worse, but just like the perspectives of him coming back early. Right. I the longer this goes on, the more I think that, you know, that he might be out a little bit longer than we expected. And then with Denny, like, man, I honestly felt bad for Denny tonight. Like, this guy, I mean, like, it's funny. Kuzma actually said this in his post game press conference. Yo, you got to realize that you're open for a reason.
Right.
And make him pay. Denny, I felt bad for the guy. Like, I mean, he was out there wide butt naked open, yeah, on no so many possessions. Yeah. It's there. The teams aren't guarding him. They're not scared of him shooting shots. They're not scared of him
Put your center on him and give him half a court.
LeBron saw him shooting a layup. Man, he went to go box out. Like,
he was turning around, like, legitimately, like,
exactly,
turning away.
Yeah, like, he does not strike any fear in any opposing players. So I think that, you know, even if you're looking at what can they do to get better, you know, even the options are limited there. So, you know, it's looking bleak in Wizards land. That's all I can say.
Do you think, like, to me, I'm 11 and 13. I've lost I've lost 7 of the last 10. I've lost 6 of the last 7. My best player, you know, says for the second time in a podcast. And by the way, for anyone saying that his quotes were taken out of context, this is the second time he said this on a national podcast. He said it to JJ.
Anybody who
as well
says that didn't watch it, like, no, he meant every word that he said. Like, there exactly was no, the context is the context.
Yep. He said that he did not have any better options, and that's why he's here. And guess what? He plays like it. Do you think they're even, like, reasonable enough or rational enough or just, like, firmly entrenched in the same universe that we are, that they're, like, pushing the panic button right now? Because they should be. Like, this should be, like, holy shit, we want to make the play-in? We might not even do that. And that's a disastrous look for a team, that if you've set the bar as the play-in and you can't even do that, that means you're grossly incompetent. And as a GM, you should lose your job or something like that.
Yeah, I think Tommy Shepard's no dummy. So I think that other people who are around that organization, you know, I had a good conversation with Brett Greenberg tonight. I don't think these guys are dumb. They know that they need to make moves in order to even get to the where the bar is low.
Right.
And they're not even meeting that bar right now. And I think that they realize that something needs to be done if they want to even make it to the low bar.
To your point, like if Kuzma's your best trade asset, if you trade him and let's say all you get back are picks or, you know, expiring contract or whatever it is, like, you know,
does it matter if you still have the same people making these decisions? Yeah.
Well, so that's the thing. Like the draft picks, people aren't going to have a lot of faith in. And then you can't backfill him with like, it's not a wins over replacement thing. Like Denny and Rui, if healthy, are still not capable of replicating on this roster what Kuzma brings for you. Like if you lose him, it's not as simple as like give them more minutes and you'll get the same production. They rely on him so heavily to create for others and the playmaking and honestly his length and rebounding and things like that too, that those guys can't give that to them. So like, do you make yourself worse?
It depends on what. See, I don't think that they would trade Kuzma to get draft picks and young players. I think that they trade Kuzma, probably Kuzma and Kispert and something else to try to go get a bigger to go get another star. Interesting. I think that's always been as far as
a real big trade.
And I got it. Like I said, I like a lot of the trades that Tommy has done.
Sure.
I think that he's shown that you know he's into consolidating and trading up. Like I don't think that, you know, they're trading Kuzma to get, you know, I don't like, let's say
Jay Crowder and a first round pick.
Yeah. I don't think that I think that he wants to go get John Collins or something like that. Is that even an upgrade
at this point?
I mean, from a talent perspective, I think yes. John Collins is a better player than Kuzma.
He's been really bad this year.
I'm just throwing that out there.
I know. I'm with you. I totally understand.
Somebody of that nature.
Yep. I don't know who that is though. I guess that's more my point. It's like I don't know who they get that like is a needle moving player for them that fixes enough of these like obvious holes that they have. Can they go get a star point guard and hope that they can backfill power forward minutes enough? Like I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, as long as they keep. They keep liking these big lineups. I think that, you know, the next star that I think will be available will be Karl Anthony Towns.
Agreed.
I think that that's somebody who they could probably pony up some stuff and go get. And, you know, I'd like him here as a fit next to Porzingis. You know, like I said, that's a pipe dream. But yeah, no, like that's, I think that at this point, like they have to start thinking outside the box of trying to pull off something like that. If they're not thinking like that, then we're just going to do more of the same.
Do you think they ever get to a point where they just say like, all right, this year's kind of a wash. This is a loss. Let's flip some of these guys.
Never.
Yeah. I don't think so either.
As long as Ted Leonsis is still the governor of Monumental Sports, no, I don't think that that's a possibility. I think that, you know, this all starts from the top. And I think that, you know, the edict has always been to make the playoffs. Like if Ted gets those, you know, two or three playoff gates, I think that he's going to think it was a successful year.
That's the exact answer I was hoping you would say, because it allows me the opportunity to do a shameless plug for our new t-shirts. They say, "We will never, ever." And then there's a picture of a tank, because that is the Ted quote for "We will never, ever tank." So if anyone wants those, they're on the Believe website. You can go get those and you can lean all into the fact that the Wizards are just going to do what they do and continue toward, I don't know, the 9 seed if all things break.
Yeah.
Best case scenario.
Matt, man, like you brought up something like if this team doesn't make the play-in, like that will be a level of disappointment that I don't think that anybody is prepared for at this point, at this moment. And if you had to say, I mean, with the way that they're playing right now, like that is a full possibility. Like they're very well maybe 10 teams that are better than the Wizards in the East.
Yeah, I totally think there are. I mean, whether or not their health will all work out, like they're almost going to have to bank on like other teams bottoming out because of injuries and people like Chicago or New York or whoever just like punting on the season, because that's who they're going to be competing with. And those teams are probably better on paper at this point. Like it's sad, but it's kind of true. Like this team is not what we thought it would be. I'm an idiot, I think, because I really thought that the bench and the depth on this team would be a strength. And so far they're non-existent. Like I did not expect I did not expect Will Barton to totally just disappear and turn into like the corpse of Will Barton.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't expecting that either, but you know, these are the cards that we've been dealt with. And so, you know, I think that, you know, but we, unless Jordan Goodwin like transitions and turns into, you know, the next coming of Jose Alvarado, who's actually looking like a bona fide star now. Yeah. Saw him drop 38 points tonight.
Which is wild.
This is absolutely wild, but yeah, it must be nice.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Tommy, you got to find more of those guys. Like, that's your only hope to even out. We talked about this the last time, even out some of your draft record. And you need one of those guys to turn into something, whether it's Kispert. You need, actually, now that Beal might be hurt, I wonder if we just see like Will Barton get like 35 minutes a game in hopes that they can like something will click and he'll recoup some value and they can feature him enough to like maybe convince another team that if a change of scenery is enough to get something for him. I don't know.
Playing Will Barton 35 minutes a game is a version of stealth taking.
Is it even that stealthy at that point? Like,
it's actually not even that stealth. It's like really obvious.
Troy, you got anything else before we get out of here? I think I'm I don't know. I'm not as mad as I thought I would be, to be honest with you. It's just sort of like I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. I'm like a failed parent, but also a failed child. It's, I don't know. It's just the whole thing is just disappointing.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I think that, you know, this is a very disappointing stretch of the Wizards season. And, you know, it's not looking good right now as far as, you know, their options and ability to be able to turn this thing around. One thing that I am very much looking forward to is the return of John Wall this mm-hmm. weekend.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, you know, yes, he did come back when he was with the Rockets, but there weren't any fans in the arena. So it wasn't really like the same. Like, this is the first time that, you know, John will be able to come back. And, you know, I think that he'll be able to get the reception that he truly deserves, you know, as a Washington, D.C. legend.
I mean, hopefully they do. Like, I had some issues with Wall the way he played. Like, wasn't my favorite player of all time to watch. Some of the 18-foot step backs, he would drive you crazy every once in a while. But like, from the perspective of just like a guy who clearly wanted to be here, it's just night and day when you watch what
Beal's
doing now.
And clearly wanted to win,
right?
And actually knew and actually had a formula of how to win. Sure. Like, yeah, John had a formula. He's like, yo, it's 15 seconds left. I'm gonna dribble the ball in the paint. Mm-hmm. Everybody's gonna jump on me. I'm going to pass it to somebody open and they can hit an open shot. Boom. Yep. We had a formula, winning formula. It worked.
Yeah. It worked enough, right?
You know, It worked enough. Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah. I mean, that when you compare the two, I wonder what, if Brad even feels, I was going to say, I wonder what Brad feels like. I don't know if he ever thinks about these things, but like just that you see the love that Wall gets from fans for the most part. Now it's like, if you're Beal, is it just like, oh, I'll never get that. Or like, how does he even give a shit? I don't know. It just, if it were me,
I saw your tweet from earlier where you said you saw more Thomas Bryant Lakers jerseys than Beal Wizards jerseys. And I have to say that I agree. there were a lot of Thomas Bryant jerseys there tonight. Like,
yeah, it was bad. For people that think I'm an idiot, I understand that the number 24 and the number 8 Bryant jerseys for the Lakers are not Thomas Bryant. They're a different Bryant. Yeah. But I got multiple DMs from people letting me know that that was the case. So I do appreciate that. I am familiar with Kobe's work. I appreciate that. Troy, just the next couple games here, they've got the Bulls on Wednesday who need this game. Chicago like needs that game. You've got the Pacers on Friday, and that's proven to be a tough matchup for them so far this year. And then you've got a motivated Clippers team coming in here on Saturday and the Brooklyn Nets again on Monday. Like, they could very easily go 0-4.
All four of those games. Yeah. And
that makes you 11-17 at that point.
Yeah, you might be canceling Christmas by that point.
It's tough.
I think we have to see what Bradley Beal's hamstring injury looks like. And sure. So, you know, if he's able to go, I'd give them two of those victories.
I mean, you almost need that if you're them. You got to like break even on that stretch and keep like your head above water for the most part.
Yeah, if they go 1-3 or 0-4, like it could start to get ugly really quickly around here.
The Bulls are also struggling. They're 9-14 overall, 3 of their last 7. So like I said, they really need this one, but that's probably the easiest one to win on paper of those group of teams.
Yeah, we could put the Bulls on a fast track towards the Wembanyama sweepstakes.
let's help them out. Let us do you a favor, Chicago.
Yeah. help us help you.
For anybody interested, on Friday, me and some other Wizards fans who regular or frequent this bar will be going to the Blackguard in D.C. Friday evening and watching some of the Pacers game in place of our Capital City Go-Go night. So if anybody is interested in that, please feel free to join us. It's just a nice place to hang out. So I think that's the plan. You don't have to pay for tickets. You can come watch the game, buy a drink, get some food, hang out with other people interested in the team as well. We'll do a more structured meetup and stuff like that in the future at another local establishment. And, you know, we'll give money back to small local businesses as opposed to giving more money to Ted Leonsis, who clearly doesn't need any more money. Troy, I think that's all I got for us here. Anything else?
Yeah, no. That's good. I think that we're both in a much more solid place than we were before we started recording this podcast.
Agreed.
Cathartic. And, you know, I'm content with where the Wizards are right now. You know, I think that things are starting to reveal themselves and everything happens for a reason. And so I'm just trying to be a little more positive and existential about where we are in Wizards fandom.
Here's my only positive, that this season will not go well and Beal will break the scoring record for the franchise. And in the offseason we'll say, hey, I've got my accolade. I'm out. Deuces. This is great. I loved it here. You'll always be remembered. You'll retire my jersey someday. I'll get offered a front office position, but I got to go win somewhere. I can't win here. The organization can spin it if their PR people will get their heads out of their asses and say, you know, this is a positive for us too. We're going to free Brad. We're going to let Brad win and we're going to transition in the next stage of things. You know, Tommy likes to spin stuff and make excuses. So this will be a great opportunity for him to sugarcoat that about doing Brad a solid for all his good years. Like that's best case scenario for all parties is that they could mutually part ways in the offseason. So that's my positivity. That's what I'm hoping for. And, you know, we'll just see if that comes to fruition or not.
We're going to roll with that then, Matt.
All right. Troy, thank you again for the time. As always, folks, check out Troy's work. Got a Substack going. I will put the link in the episode description again. Great content. And thanks for listening, everybody. This has been Believe in Wizards. Rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. We are presented by betonline.ag, and we will catch you next time.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.